To the people that ask why we need a women's specific day, my response is that once we have true equality and equity for women, we will not need to have a woman's specific day. We will not need to have a She's Interesting. Welcome to She's Interesting. I'm your host, Rochelle Hariri. I'm an award-winning marketer, startup consultant, advisor, and the host of She's Interesting. I'm so excited to be recording in my dining room today. We're just going to take it easy. It's my comfort zone. I'm at home and I'm really enjoying it. So let's get started. This past week was Global Entrepreneurship Week, and just this past weekend was Women's Entrepreneurship Day. I think it's really important that we celebrate the impact that women have had on the world in a business sense and really shine a spotlight on the incredible work that women have been doing to advance us as a society. Now, I was on Twitter and I was on social media, and I did see some people asking why there needs to be a Women's Entrepreneurship Day or a woman's specific. I'll give an example, like, why do we have Women's Day? Why do we have Women's Entrepreneurship Day? What's the purpose and the point of having these women-specific days when it should all just be Entrepreneurship Week or Entrepreneur Day? I was reflecting on these questions that I discovered through Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And there's a reason why we celebrate and we highlight women. The reason why we do this is because we don't have equality. Things are not equitable for women just yet. We are so far from having equality for women in business and in entrepreneurship that some have said when we see equality and equity for women will be years after we are all long gone. And I actually think when people ask these questions about why do we need these specific days for women, it's coming from ignorance and it's coming from a lack of information and a lack of understanding. Like, people that are typically posing these questions are either trying to be a devil's advocate, which we don't have time for that. Okay, we're all very busy. Or they're just uneducated and they don't understand why. They don't have the data points. And so let me spit some of those data points and share them with you all. Women receive less than 2% of VC funding. This past year, women have received close to 1.8% of all venture capital funding. That in itself poses as a problem. There are a lot of women-driven companies, technology companies, health tech, femtech, all sorts of SaaS corporations and businesses. However, women are still not receiving VC funding. There are many reasons for this. Some of them are that oftentimes women choose to bootstrap their companies. They are focusing on being net positive and getting sales and revenue versus spending time going through the VC route. As we heard in Fatima's episode from a week ago, oftentimes if you're a woman or a person of color, you feel like you are a diversity checkbox for a venture capital firm. And that feeling is a lot of the reason why many people step away from VCs and they just focus on bootstrapping their business and doing a friends and family round. So regardless, let's educate some of the folks who don't understand why women have a specific day like Women's Entrepreneurship Day. We need to close the gap, but it currently shows that right now, 81% of European entrepreneurs are men. Also, if we look at the United States, it's quite similar as well. 74% of entrepreneurs in the US are men. Only 26% are women. And that's part of the reason why I'm running She's Interesting and I have this podcast, because I want to change the perception of what an entrepreneur or a business person looks like. Oftentimes when you're thinking about, oh, am I an entrepreneur? Do I fit the mold for this type of this archetype, you assume it's a man, oftentimes a white male, oftentimes in tech. And so if you look differently from that and your business is slightly different, it makes you feel as though you don't fit the mold. Entrepreneurship is for everyone. And when we talk about Entrepreneurship Day, it is so important for us to highlight the stories of women who are doing incredible work. If you have a business, if you run a business, you are an entrepreneur. The reason that we highlight and celebrate women's accomplishments for Entrepreneurship Day or Women's Entrepreneurship Day is that despite a current patriarchal system, gender and ethnic-specific days are really important because there is inequality in the world. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done to drive equality and to encourage more women to get involved in entrepreneurship and running their businesses. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I also was having some great conversations this past week. I was speaking with different tech entrepreneurs, women investors, and we were talking a lot about the need to highlight the voices of women and to highlight their stories. She's Interesting and what I'm creating is not just for women. She's Interesting is for everyone. The topics that we cover are about business, money, and well-being. Three things that anyone can relate to. But the reason why it's called She's Interesting is because we're sharing business, money, and well-being stories from the point of view of women. And unfortunately, what some people think is that as soon as something is associated with women, that men no longer should tune in and listen. And I think that inherently is one of the biggest problems in our society. If you're in a relationship right now with a cis male, or it doesn't even have to be a cis male, ask him, go to your partner and ask him, who are three women that inspire you? And these three women can't be me. They can't be your sister. They can't be your mom. Who are three women who inspire you? Once you have that answer, come back to me and tell me what he said. Because chances are many men will struggle to find three women that truly inspire them. And I think that in itself shows that men are walking around in the world without thinking deeply about the impact that incredible women have on business and on our economy and in investments. And that is why consistently we see women being left behind. There's this kind of like this bros club when it comes to investing. There's a lot of men that are part of their own WhatsApp community groups where it's probably 99% men and they share with each other, hey, there's a new business idea that's coming up. Who wants to invest? I've done the due diligence. Here's what it looks like. And they share with each other. They all invest and they continue to grow their wealth. They continue to learn from each other. Unfortunately, most of those WhatsApp groups have a very limited number of women. A friend of mine actually candidly told me recently that she was part of one of these WhatsApp groups with all these different men investors. And she is only one of two women in a group that is filled with 50 or so people. Now, some people may argue, oh, well, maybe there aren't that many women investors. There are. There are. If you are from a large city like Toronto, there are. And also, these groups and these WhatsApp groups, these investor chats, they're not just city specific. Anyone can be included and added in them. But the problem is, if you think about the barriers to entry for women, we have a much higher uphill battle and we're fighting against a lot more because it's just not top of mind for a lot of men. So we need to infiltrate these groups. We need to be louder. We need to take up more space online. And we need to be okay with doing that. It's being very confident in yourself and what you know and what you don't know and fighting that good fight so that your voice gets heard and so that you get included in these WhatsApp groups. As a woman, I want to see more examples of other women doing well. There is nothing more motivating to me than seeing the story of someone who's overcome adversity, someone who's created something from scratch, someone who has acquired a company and taken over their is so much confidence I gain from learning about the other stories of women who have broke down barriers and made it to the top. For me, it reminds me that anything is possible for me, and it should do the same for you. Take these stories of women in your community, of women online, and learn from them. Use their lessons to build your confidence. I know that on a daily basis, we are bombarded. If you go on TikTok, if you go on Instagram, we are bombarded by images and content created for women and oftentimes by women. There's no hate or shame on it, but a lot of the content online that we're being served is specific to beauty, looking good, and taking care of our homes. I cannot express the amount of times I've gone online and it was a get ready with me and here's all the makeup I'm using. I can list the latest trend colors like red wine nails for the season. I know exactly what the best styles are for fall, winter apparel. And what I'm struggling to find is more information that is helping me to understand where I should be investing my money, how I can grow my businesses. That's what's the most important when we're focusing on the wrong things and when the media that we're consuming and the content we're consuming is constantly distracting us in life. We are not going to get ahead just by knowing the right lipstick color for the season. We are going to get ahead by understanding where to invest our money, how to grow our businesses, and then how to support other women as part of our community. This is why She's Interesting exists. And this is why we have specific days like Women's Day and Women's Entrepreneurship Day, because we need to shift the narrative. We need to take up more space in the media to talk about what we bring to the table. There are two women whose content I love watching. I like watching them on YouTube. I love their LinkedIn posts. And I also really enjoy their TikTok and Instagram accounts. These two women are a great example to me of women who have successfully scaled businesses, made a lot of money, and are now taking that information they have and sharing it with other people. These two women, you may have heard of them before, are Cody Sanchez and Layla Hormozi. Cody Sanchez, I'm going to give you a little overview of each one of these women because I think their stories are really interesting. And like I said, I use the stories of other women to fuel me, to fuel my confidence, to fuel my motivation. And I'm hoping this does the same for you. So Cody Sanchez, she has been buying and investing in businesses since 2012. So for the last 12 years. She now runs a holding company of small and medium-sized businesses that are valued at around $10 million before earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation and amortization. So she focuses on what she's calling boring businesses. Boring businesses are like laundromats, lawn care companies, not these very sexy, big idea SaaS companies or tech companies. Like she's just going for the straight goods, companies that are in the service space and are helping people get from A to B. People need lawn care. People need clean clothes. She knows that that's where she's focusing her time. Once she graduated from post-secondary education, she became a journalist and a reporter in Juarez, Mexico. And that was before she made the switch to investments. She actually started working at the Vanguard. Most of you should be familiar with the Vanguard. If you are not, please go find out what the Vanguard is and understand how you can make investments. In 2008, the financial crisis happened. Cody witnessed the devastating impact of financial illiteracy, how much of a burden that is for ordinary people who don't understand what to do with money and how to protect themselves for the future. So she took this as an opportunity to lean even further into the financial industry. She was working at Goldman Sachs, First Trust. Through her experience working at these different organizations, she was able to build up her understanding of finance and money. That's actually what led her to buy and invest in a series of these boring companies. You would assume being from the investment space, she would want to go after like tech and big ideas and healthcare. But no, she just was like, let's go to the basics and purchase these companies that we know can make us money and make them run better. It was actually during the pandemic, which was another point where people were struggling with finances and money. That's when she decided to launch what's called the Contrarian Thinking. This is a program that she's launched. It empowers thousands of people to take control of their financial destiny, to understand money more, to understand how to purchase businesses, and to become successful small business owners. Her niche, I would say, is focusing on net positive small businesses. So definitely someone to check out. She's very outspoken. She's very focused on community and she's very focused on providing advice on how you can protect yourself against recessions and how you can build your wealth through boring businesses. And I absolutely love that because I'm someone who loves big ideas and I love looking into tech companies. And after all, that's what I do as a startup consultant. And so her take on business is so different than how I was thinking of it. And I really enjoy watching her videos and learning from her. So I 100% recommend that you check her out. The next person is Leila Hormozi. Leila Hormozi is a first generation American entrepreneur, investor, and she's a philanthropist. She started off as a trainer and she was living in the OC at the time. She quickly rose in the ranks to become one of the top selling trainers in her region. And then within a year of doing that, she met her now husband, Alex Hormozi. Both of them who are super popular online. They have a mass following and they talk a lot about business and how they're growing their companies. What I like about Layla's story is that she met her now husband, Alex, together. They were kind of dating. They just met each other and he asked her if she wanted to join him as part of his business. He was running this like turnaround business where he would help gyms make more money and help them with their processes. And so she was kind of like, okay, let's try this. I'll see how this goes. I'm supposed to be dating this guy, but now all of a sudden we're going to be working together. It's kind of weird, but she went with it. And actually after 4 years of working together, they had packaged up this business turnaround model that they had. And in 4 years, they were able to scale it and sell it to over 4,000 locations. So together, it's a very impressive story of how they built their relationship, created a business, and then also scaled and made a ton of money off of that. Over that same 4 year period, she founded and scaled a few other companies, you know, over 100 million in, I believe, in cumulative sales across different industries of these companies that she was working on. But her expertise for Leila is more specific on scaling businesses and looking at the infrastructure of these businesses and how to grow and build, looking at the management systems, how to manage staff, culture, people, workplaces, things like that. And so I really enjoy her point of view on business. I mean, both her and Cody have a very direct and candid form of providing feedback on how to run a company, which I love because I think oftentimes online or in general, women are supposed to be more demure and a little bit more humble. But these two women are like, straight up, this is how I think about business. This is how I run my company. Now let's go make money together. I love seeing more women taking up space online. What I don't like seeing is the amount of criticism that they get for being so public with their lives and their experience and their businesses. Oftentimes, even behind closed doors, like even over the last week, I've heard people make comments and even women make comments about other women and how they became successful and how they got to where they are. And it boggles my mind because I am so focused on supporting the journey of other women and having their back. Even if I don't know them and someone's being critical, I shut it down. It's very easy in our society to question women and to question how they received their success and to question if it was handed to them and to question their intelligence. And I think that it's so wrong and we all need to come together and support each other more and each other's journeys and amplify what other women are doing and share it online. I mean, that's the only way that we're all going to continue to grow together. It's hard for me to sit in a room and hear women comment on another woman's success or journey and how she got to where she is in a negative way. Like it doesn't matter. Honestly, to me, it doesn't matter. If you are a woman and you are running a business and you are putting yourself out there and you are on social media and you're sharing your experience, full stop, I have your back. Because it's not easy to put yourself out there in public. It's not easy to show what you're doing behind the scenes when you don't know if things are going to end up being successful or not. And there's so much hate online. I got your back no matter what. And I think that's the attitude that we all need to bring to the table when we're talking about bridging the gap and creating more equality for women. It also starts from us. And we need to be there for each other. I hope that the stories of Layla and Cody inspire you. And I hope that you learn from these women. Often it's very easy to criticize these personalities that have a large following online. But I urge you, instead of criticism, lean in and learn from them and see what they've done to get to where they are. What can you learn from these women? What can you grasp from their confidence and use in your life? And how can you motivate yourself to keep going? Especially in this climate right now and the way the economy is, I am constantly looking for ways to motivate myself to keep going and to feel good about what I'm building, what I'm creating with She's Interesting, and what I'm doing for my clients as well. So I have 5 quick tips for you before we wrap up this podcast on how to stay motivated during the time of the year when we all just want to hibernate and cuddle with our pets, get under a blanket, and say see ya in the new year. The first thing I'm doing is I am working out 2 to 3 times a week. Now, for those of you who work out like 5 days a week, kudos to you. But for me, I need to have at least 2 to 3 days of movement. This could be reformer Pilates. This could be a 30-minute weights workout at home or running on my treadmill. Some type of movement to keep my energy level up, especially when the days are getting shorter and shorter and we have less and less sunlight. Move your body, stay fit and physical in order to not let the winter blues get you. I'm telling you, it's one of the best things that I could do for myself, and I recommend it. The second thing is a sunrise alarm clock. I don't know how I lived in Canada and got through these winters for so many years without a sunrise alarm clock. I just purchased one a couple of years ago, and it is a lifesaver. I will leave a link to the one that I have in the show notes for this episode. It's honestly a beautiful machine, and it wakes me up with a gentle sunrise and the sound of birds chirping. It takes me back to the summer mornings when I would wake up and it was bright and sunny and the birds were outside my window. It was beautiful. It takes me to my happy place, and it's a perfect way to wake up instead of my iPhone alarm clock that I want to throw at the wall every morning. The third thing I'm doing is I'm pulling away from caffeine. Caffeine for women in particular can create cysts in your body, in your breasts. So it's also not as good for you as many people claim that it is. I've been doing more research on caffeine, and I am scaling back significantly, and I'm only having caffeine during certain days in my cycle. I'm drinking a lot more water, and I'm focusing more on having electrolytes, which, by the way, is good for your skin, good for your organs, and it's just good for your overall well-being. So I'm trying to kick the habit of having so much caffeine. I hope that you will join me on this journey. Maybe we'll do like a 30-day no caffeine journey. Some of you are probably listening to this and be like, Rochelle, you're insane. I'm not joining you. I love my cup of coffee. And that's fine. But for the few of you who are down for this idea, let me know, message me on social media, and let's do this 30 days of no caffeine together. Fourth thing on my list is I'm doing weekly check-ins with myself. As I mentioned before, I'm trying to do more of a cycle syncing method for my life moving forward. I used to do cycle syncing. I fell off the bandwagon, and now I'm getting back on it. For those of you who don't know, I can create a full video of what our podcast of what cycle syncing is and what it does for your body. But essentially, cycle syncing is when you take your food and your fitness and how you are living your life, the appointments you have, the meetings you have, et cetera, and you are organizing them so that it matches your cycle. It's such a great hack to live your life. I think more women should be cycle syncing. It is great for your skin. It's great for your hormones. If you have hormonal acne, if you cycle sync your foods and you decrease your caffeine at certain times of your cycle, it's much better for your body. So I highly recommend doing this. So I'm having these weekly check-ins with myself where I look in and I say, what stage in my cycle am I at? What does my schedule look like? What's my fitness routine for this week? Am I doing high intensity, low intensity weights? What am I eating this week? And I'm basically biohacking and planning my week. I'll let you know how that goes. I'll keep you all posted, but definitely something to consider. And I really do think I might do a future episode on cycle syncing. This could be really interesting for many people and a great learning. And so the fifth and last thing I'm doing is I'm living today as my future self. I talk about this a lot. I've shared this POV that I have and this mindset and attitude with many of my friends. I want to live today like how future Rochelle should be living. And what I mean by that is I'm thinking about my future self. I'm thinking about how she walks through the world. I'm thinking about her attitude. I'm thinking about the way she feels in her body and in her skin and the way she makes the people around her feel. And on days where I'm feeling crappy, on the days where I don't feel very good, I try to channel my future self that is a bright shining light, who is an incredible woman, who is doing great things with her life. I channel her and I don't want to let her down. I want to do my best for my future self. So I try to live today as I would. If you're thinking of getting off the couch and going on the treadmill, but you want to spend another 20 minutes on social media, think about your future self. Is she fit? Is she exercising? Does she spend a lot of time on social media? What is she like? And try to live today for your future self. One thing that gets me motivated as well is thinking about, would my future self want to hang out with me today? This cool version of me, this future Rochelle, who is all these glamorous and wonderful and smart things that I want to be, would she be okay hanging with how I am today? And I think that's a great way to think about your life and how you want to live. Don't do the things today that don't fit the lifestyle that you want. It takes a lot of discipline to be able to say no to certain things and to focus on yourself and to maintain motivation, but you can do it if you are only competing with yourself. If you're competing with other people, you will always falter. You will always get to a breaking point where you say, oh, you know what? It's just not worth it. Stop competing with other people. Your biggest competition is you and getting to your future self. Get to a stage where your future self is actually going to want to hang out with you. It's critical. 5 tips again, let me reiterate. These are the things I'm doing to stay motivated over the winter months and not get depressed, because seasonal depression in Canada is real. And aside from taking vitamin D every day, I'm working out 2 to 3 times a week. I'm using my sunrise alarm clock, which I will link for you guys. I'm pulling back on caffeine and focusing more on hydration and electrolytes. I'm doing weekly check-ins with myself and I'm cycle syncing. And then 5, I am living for my future self. I'm constantly reminding myself that in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, I want to be that person in my mind and I need to start building the foundations today. Thank you for tuning in to She's Interesting. I am your host, Rochelle Hariri, and I really enjoyed spending this time with you. I hope you feel motivated. I hope you feel like you can conquer things this week and that you have a lot to take away to think about. I've given you some great resources and women to look up and to learn from. And I want us all to do well together. So thank you for tuning in. As always, remember to subscribe to She's Interesting on all streaming platforms. Give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. It really helps the podcast. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter and follow us on social media at She's Interesting Podcast. I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful week, and I will talk to you next Tuesday. See you soon.